As we come this morning to the fifth commandment, as we study through the Ten Commandments, we come to actually a watershed point in our study of the Ten Commandments. Or do we? Let me explain. Everyone who looks at the Ten Commandments sees two distinct relationships addressed in these commandments. The first half seem to describe our relationship with God. The second half seems to give us direction on our relationship with other people. So therefore, the first set of commandments is that vertical orientation, guiding us in our upward relationship. And the second half is that horizontal orientation, guiding us in our relationship with one another. This pattern is reflected as well in the comments of Jesus. One day, someone came to Jesus, one of the religious authorities who was trying to test him and trip him up, one of the experts of the law. And they put the question to Jesus, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" This is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. The reply of Jesus was so very simple and so very correct. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, Jesus was talking in broader terms than just the Ten Commandments. But we see this very division, this vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship there in the Ten Commandments as well. Another interesting thing that we see in the comments of Jesus is the simplicity of it all. He is basically saying, if we truly love God, we will naturally obey and follow all the commandments related to God. And if we truly, truly love our neighbor as ourselves, we will obey naturally the commandments that govern our relationship with other people. In fact, there's really not a great need to memorize all the commandments and to work very diligently to obey all the commandments individually, as if we need to remember all the whole long list and check them off as we go along. Instead, keep it simple. What we need to do is simply truly love God and all the commandments that relate to our relationship with God will naturally take place as we truly love Him. And again, with each other, if we truly love one another, we will act in ways that are in conformity with all the instructions that God gives us with regard to our relationship with one another. Now, as we turn to the Ten Commandments and reflect on the Ten Commandments, one of the interesting debates that takes place with regard to the Ten Commandments is, when is the shift from the vertical relationship to the horizontal relationship? Now, I know we talked about this before when we were doing our study of Ephesians some time ago. We came up with this idea as well, and we talked about the distinction that is sometimes drawn in these Ten Commandments and when we have the shift. You see, the Jewish community and the Christian community have a tendency to divide the Ten Commandments differently. Let's start with the traditional way that the Christian community divides the Ten Commandments. For the Christian community, often the first four are seen as distinctly describing our relationship with God. The first four, again, affirming only one God, not fashioning God into an idol, not treating lightly the name of God, and remembering the Sabbath day, keeping that day holy. The second set of commandments, again from the Christian perspective, starts with number 5, honoring your father and mother, and that begins the next set of relationships describing our relationship with one another, the second set of six, or six in that set. But here's the interesting part. A traditional way for dividing the commandments within the Jewish community is to divide them five and five. In fact, often when the Ten Commandments are portrayed, you have five commandments on one tablet, and that's the God tablet, and then five commandments on the other side. The first five pointing to God, the second side pointing to our relationship with one another. So the fifth commandment in the Jewish community is seen as truly describing our relationship with God. And I think there's some great insights to be gleaned from this approach. When young children are young, their parents do play the role of God for their children until the children are able to better understand who God is. In fact, one of the primary responsibilities of parents is to fulfill this role of God in the lives of their children until they are able to teach their children about who the one true God is. So in a sense, the role of a parent is to be God for their children as they slowly transfer that God relationship from themselves to the one true God, our Heavenly Father. In my reading of this passage, or reading on this passage this week, I came across a wonderful insight. Let me share this with you. It says, the first people a child knows are his parents. God intends the family to be our first hospital, first school, first government, first church. So God intends for parents to play the role of God in the lives of their children as they point their children to God and pass the baton, if you will, to God in the role and in the life of their children. So there's a sense in which this fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, can be included in the commandments that point to God rather than simply the horizontal relationship. But even if we don't want to place that commandment on the God side of the list, it does serve as a wonderful bridge commandment from the first set to the second set. And if we do want to continue to see the fifth commandment as belonging on the second set, describing our horizontal relationships, it points, if you think about it, to the importance of this particular commandment, because it sets the stage for all else that will follow. Again, it points to the insight we considered a few minutes ago. God does intend for families, for mothers, for fathers to be our first hospital, our first school, our first government, our first church. And the principles and the patterns that are established in the home under the guidance of moms and dads will then shape for their children the other relationships that they'll have to deal with in life. I think it is right that the fifth commandment would start the list of our earthly relationships if we're going to put the fifth commandment over on the horizontal side. In fact, Saint Augustine, a great thinker from the fourth century, he posed this rhetorical question related to the fifth commandment. Augustine said, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? Again, that points back to the importance of the family. Parents, if they fulfill their God-given role and engender in their children love and respect and honor for their in the home, those young children will grow up extending that same honor and respect to other relationships. And then the opposite is also true. If in the home and young children are never taught to honor and never encouraged and required to honor and respect their parents, that same child will have a very difficult time respecting and honoring other authorities that they will encounter throughout life. Again, this points so much to the importance of parents in the lives of their children and the importance of honoring our fathers and our mothers. The relationship between a parent and a child is the first and primary relationship for all that will follow in human society. Well, let me share one final feature, very interesting feature of this fifth commandment before we turn to and begin to consider the meaning and some of the applications for us today in honoring our father and our mother. Let's start by reading Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, Paul actually quotes the fifth commandment in making the point that he is trying to make in that chapter, describing the relationship between parent and child. Paul writes these words, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." There's a simplicity in that statement, "for this is right." And then in verse 2, Paul says, "Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." So Paul says this fifth commandment is the first commandment with a promise. And that is true. But here's the question. Is it obedience of this one commandment for which the promise is given, or is it obedience of all the commandments for which this promise is given? Let me explain further. One of the common features in Hebrew literature is something that's called the chiastic structure or chiastic parallelism. This means that in Hebrew thought and in Hebrew writing, that middle position is the place of greatest importance, or something will build toward the middle and then recede from the middle. We've seen this often in our study of the Old Testament on Wednesday night. Meaning the Psalms are structured this way. We look there and we find right in the middle the key point of emphasis. Now this is difficult for us because in Western thought and in Western writing, we tend to emphasize the beginning or the end. For example, if we were creating a list of 10 things, we would probably put the most important thing at the very beginning of the list or the very end of the list in order to draw attention to it. Now in Hebrew writing and Hebrew lists, the place of emphasis is the very middle. With this in mind, what do we find in the very middle of the Ten Commandments? Right between the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and the sixth commandment, do not murder. What do we find? We find this wonderful promise. This wonderful promise. And because of its placement right in the middle, it could be argued and is argued that this particular promise is really for the whole set, for all the commandments. In other words, God is saying, if we keep His Ten Commandments, and we can even broaden it even further than that, because we know that even though we have Ten Commandments, there are many other commandments that are also included in the Old Testament set of laws and instructions. But the idea is if we keep all the commandments, we will live long in the land that God is about to bring us into. Or the people of Israel will live long in the land that God was bringing them into. Remember, the Ten Commandments, given at Mount Sinai first, and then given on the plains of Moab later. But both of these givings of the Ten Commandments took place while they were wandering in the wilderness, getting ready to go into the land. And so God is preparing them. And also when we talked about this possessing of the land and this giving of the law, we've talked about this in the recent passages. We saw the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. We noted that the giving of the law, the giving of the Ten Commandments, very much was connected with going in and possessing the land. Remember the distinction we drew a couple of weeks ago? We said that God entered into a covenant relationship with the people. And this was actually done before Moses delivered the Ten Commandments to the people. In other words, God was entering into a personal relationship with them. And then afterward, giving them the law to obey. This is actually true for us as well today. We enter into a personal relationship with God through faith, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And after we enter into that personal relationship with God, then God expects us to obey His commandments and instructions that He has given to us. You see, here's the idea. For the people of Israel, the relationship between God and the people was not dependent upon or not conditioned upon their ability to keep the law. In fact, as we know, just from general human experience, people cannot keep the law of God. We all fail in some degree to or another. We all fall short of keeping the law. So our relationship with God is not dependent upon keeping His law. However, possessing the land of promise, that was conditioned upon keeping God's law. We saw this notion when the law was given, and we talked about that, how God gave the law through Moses and said, if you follow this law, you will indeed possess the land. Well, we see that same idea stated here in this promise. This promise that is attached to the fifth psalm, or at least placed between the fifth commandment and the sixth commandment. So that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. God is promising that the people will enjoy the land that God is giving to them if they are diligent and keep all the commandments. The promise is placed in the very point of emphasis that we would expect in Hebrew literature, the very middle position. If we read the prophets of the Old Testament as they try to explain to the people why they lost the land, why God allowed the Babylonians to take them away from that land and take them into captivity. Time and time again, the Old Testament prophets state, it is because you have failed to keep the law. One wonderful example is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. If you read through that chapter, it reads like a long list of sins and detestable practices that the Israelites did and why they lost the land, and they actually almost parallel the Ten Commandments. And these are given as the reason God is taking the land away from them. Follow the Ten Commandments, God will bless you and reward you. Ignore and violate the Ten Commandments, and God will remove His blessings. Again, bringing it back to our own relationship with God. Our relationship with God, our salvation, is not dependent upon our ability to keep all the commandments. However, God's blessings, God's rewards, they are. So we want to very much strive to keep the commandments so we can expect to receive the blessings and rewards. Well, let's go back now to the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, and talk a little bit more about what that commandment's looking for. The word honor. The word honor means to treat with proper respect. Treat with proper respect the person as your mother and your father, the role they have in your life. What does it mean to honor your parents? Well, it means to give them that proper respect. Now, some people struggle with this. Some people who have had maybe a bad experience with their parents, and they're not quite sure how they can honor their parents in light of their experience. Well, this is a common struggle. But here's the thing I want you to think about. God gives us these instructions. And they're unconditional instructions. It's not honor your father and mother if they are worthy of your honor and respect. Instead, just honor them. Do your part in giving to them honor, giving them to respect. I know when I talk about this concept with my high school students, many high school students have a real tension-filled relationship with their parents at that point in their life, and they have a hard time giving to their parents the honor and respect that they know they ought to give. But I always remind them, as I remind us as well, our command, our instructions to honor our mother and our father are not conditional. And sometimes we just need to have that mindset of I need to do what God has called me to do and not worry on whether or not they're deserving of that. And there's a whole message right there in our salvation. Are we worthy of the grace and the love and the salvation that God has given to us? Well, many times, no. But God extends to us what we do not yet deserve. And I think we need to have that mindset. Young children need to obey their parents. Paul says in Ephesians 6:1, for this is right. This is right. Just to honor and obey your parents. In fact, as children honor and obey their parents, they actually receive from their parents what God wants them to receive from their parents. I had one commentator put it this way. Parents have a God-given responsibility to teach their children how to know and serve God. But children will not learn those lessons if they do not respect and obey their parents. Keeping the fifth commandment is essential for God passing down the faith. Young children, therefore, they keep the fifth commandment in order to receive from their parents the care, the nurture, the protection, the instruction that God intends for the children to receive from their parents. What about your aged parents? Even if you're all grown up and you've established your own independent life, you're not a young child anymore, you don't see mom and dad as God in your life anymore, there's still a sense in which our love for our parents becomes a demonstration of our love and respect for God. Again, getting back to those foundational truths and patterns that are established in the home. The Apostle Paul uses this very idea as an example of how grown children are to honor their aged parents in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 7. Let me read that passage for you. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 7. And the background for this passage is Paul is telling the church, hey listen, if there are widows in the community, you need to, as a church, reach out and to minister to them and to provide for the needs of the widows in your community. But then in verse 5, Paul says this. He says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Very similar in language. Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, it is right for a child to honor their parents. Here he's saying it is pleasing to the Lord when grown children continue to honor and respect their parents. So yes, the church will take care of widows. But if the widow has children or grandchildren who are able to care for them, this becomes their responsibility and their way, as Paul says, their way to practice their own faith and responsibility to the Lord. Again, some would say, well, listen, you don't know my parents. You don't understand what I had to endure. If your parents have not been the ideal parents, or you struggle yourself with honoring your parents because of your own experience, remember, in the Christian life, we're often called to these kinds of situations. But here, again, the grace of God and the strength of God is available to us. There's a lot of people we're called to love, and they're not very lovable, but we still love them. And we draw upon the grace and the strength of God in order to love other people, because that's what we're called to do. Here, we're called to honor and to respect our parents. And if we have troubles with that for whatever reason, like loving that person who is unlovable, we draw upon the grace and strength of God. Now, we do need to set healthy boundaries at times. Sometimes relationships are ones in which there's boundaries that need to be drawn. But the point is, we can strive with the grace and the strength that God gives us to honor our parents, to do what God has called us to do. And so let's close today with pointing out just a few ways in which we can show our parents honor and respect. The first thing we want to keep in mind is we just simply want to appreciate them. They have given to us so much. They gave us life. They gave us, in growing up, and those who are parents, you know that we often give and give and give to our children. And as children, think about your parents, how much they gave, how much they sacrificed, how much they continue to give and sacrifice. And I think there's a sense in which we honor them and respect them by just being appreciative of those things that our parents have given to us. A second way in which we want to honor our parents and respect our parents is we want to learn from them. Our parents have a great deal of wisdom to offer. One of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain. Mark Twain always has these wonderful quotes. This is one that I've always enjoyed, describing the parent-child relationship. He says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand being around the old man. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much that old man had learned in the past 7 years." Now, I always had a great deal of admiration for my dad for that. But the idea is I recognize in my dad a great deal of wisdom. I recognize his faults. I recognize his weaknesses. But I do recognize that he has much good advice to give. And so I try always to listen to my father's advice. And I know in this room, the fathers represented in this room, they are men of wisdom. They are men from which we can learn a great deal. So the idea is we need to very much appreciate and honor our parents by learning from them, by listening to them. A third way in which we honor our parents is to simply forgive them. Forgive them. Again, they're not perfect. My parents were not perfect. I, as a parent, was not perfect. But we need to forgive them. Oscar Wilde said this. He said, "Children begin by loving their parents. As they grow older, they judge them. Sometimes they forgive them." Let me read that again. It's a wonderful quote. Children begin by loving their parents. As they grow older, they judge them. Sometimes they forgive them. Well, since God wants us to honor our parents, we need to draw upon the strength and the grace of God to forgive. And again, this is one of the things that God calls us to give. He calls us to love even the unlovable. He calls us to forgive all those who have wronged us and seek our forgiveness. This is a personal example. I know my mother and I had a lot of struggles when I was going through my late teens, early 20s. In fact, I think the years on Mark Twain's quote between 14 and 21 was probably the parallel years for me. When I was growing up, about 14, 15 or so, my mom and I got into a difficult tension in our relationship. And it kind of healed at about 21 or so. And here's the idea. During those years, I really thought it was my mom who needed to be forgiven, and my mom was making all the mistakes, and my mom was really at fault. It's her fault. And again, I'm speaking as a 15-year-old. Like Mark Twain thought his father was ignorant, I thought my mother was all at fault, and she needed forgiveness. But then when I got to be about 21, 22, and I began to get a little more maturity, I recognized, hey, wait a minute, I'm the guy who's been the jerk. I'm the guy who needs to be forgiven. And I remember going to my mom, reaching out to my mom in my early 20s with that very idea of, you know, Mom, I've kind of figured it out. it was me, not you. And so we were able to heal that relationship. But the idea is forgiveness needs to be given. Children aren't perfect. Parents aren't perfect. There's always needs in that parent-child relationship for forgiveness to be extended each to the other. And so we need to honor our parents by forgiving them for the things that they may not have done just right. Number four, we need to communicate with them. You know, relationships are based on open communication. And sometimes it means actually carving out those opportunities. My dad and I are not big talkers. When our phone conversations last all of 2 minutes. Tricia gets on the phone with her mom, it goes 2 hours. I get on the phone with my dad, it lasts 2 minutes. And we're both good with that. But there's not a lot of communication. I know in the last couple of years, I have intentionally carved out times. And actually it's been usually in activities. My dad loves photography. I love photography. So often, and I kind of plan this out, and I intentionally use it this time for this, when we get together for vacation time, he and I will go off and take pictures. And in the last couple of years, I've really used those times just hanging out with my dad, taking pictures, just to talk about stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I've learned so much about my dad, his struggles, his journey in life, his wisdom. And a lot of this is I've gleaned just by carving out times of communication. Neither one of us are big communicators, so we have to intentionally do something or carve out a little time to do something. So maybe it's going golfing with your dad, or going shopping with your mom, or finding these little times of we're going to do something together, but we're going to communicate. We're going to talk. Number five, we need to accept them. We need to accept them. They are who they are, not necessarily what we would like them to be. Again, we need to see them from God's point of view. God sees their weaknesses. God sees their mistakes. But God also sees the potential in them. I think as we seek to honor our father and mother, we need to do the same thing. We need to recognize the weaknesses, recognize the mistakes that have been made, but also recognize the potential that is there and work to honor your father and your mother by this. And the final thing, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. Just think of all those times when your parents prayed for you, prayed over your crib, prayed for you as you went off the first day of school, prayed for you in all the different parts of your life where you just needed comfort. Maybe you didn't even know they were praying for you, but your parents were praying for you all through your growing up. They need our prayers. So I think one of the things we do to honor our mothers and our fathers is to diligently commit ourselves to praying for them and praying God's blessings over them, praying God would help them as God helps us to bridge that relationship, to strengthen that relationship. Now, those of you with wonderful relationships with your parents, praise God. Praise God. But many times, the relationships with our parents is a time of having to work at it and having to be diligent in forgiving and appreciating and extending to them who we are, thanking them for what they've done in our life, showing them appreciation and praying for them. Let's close. Father, we thank you so much for the parents that you have given to us. And Father, as a parent, and as all the parents in this room, we know that the process of being a parent is a challenge. There's a lot of mistakes to be made, and we make quite a few of them. But Father, as we seek to apply this fifth commandment in our life, to honor our father and mother, help us to look at mom and dad the way you see them. Help us to develop and build that relationship with them. In all things, Father, I would just pray that the relationship between parents and children would be strengthened and guided. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the parents that you have given to us. Give us strength and grace to reach out and to honor and respect our parents in the way that you have called us to. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.